God. I remember we've known him now, well, since 2012, when Rachel and I first came along to this location, Surrey, Southwest London, when we first got part of Equippers Church. And John and Caroline Nash at the time, they were running all sorts of things to do with prayer, to do with healing. I remember I borrowed a couple of books from him. And John Nash is just a fantastic person who has testimony after testimony, story after story of God moving in powerful, brilliant ways in his life, in his family's life, in people that he ministers to. So you are in for a real treat this morning. I hope you've got a notepad or a phone ready to take some notes, because believe me, you are going to want to put into practice what he has for you this morning. So how about we give a big Lighthouse Church welcome to John Nash as he comes to share.
Amen. So it's great to be here today with Caroline and to share with you. And I think it was about last October when I was here and just able to talk with you and encourage you. So it's great to be back and to hear about baby Joseph Noah too. So do send our love to Rachel and Joseph Noah too. Praise the Lord. In fact, I sort of wondered if Joseph Noah will be leading the singing this morning. You know, I'm sure he's got a good voice already. But yes, you know, God has blessed me with all sorts of stories of people being blessed and changed by God's presence and his power. And it is just exciting what God wants to do. And I was privileged to be born with a Christian mum and dad, and they taught me God's ways and helped me become a Christian right from a young age. But, you know, I've seen God for myself do things, and it's exciting. And I just want to start off by reading to you from the Bible, and I'm just going to read this. It's from the book of Hebrews, but I'm just going to read it right now if I can get my phone, because I want to read it from a more modern translation, but it doesn't recognize me up here. Here we go. Right. So this is what the writer to the book of Hebrews had to say. He says, since we're surrounded by so many stories and witnesses, and this morning we've got lots of stories. I know Lorraine has. I know Malcolm has. I don't know all of you. I know Bob and Anne have. So many stories of what God has done. I can't, others of you, I know God has worked on your behalf. It's fantastic. So today we could say, like this writer to the Hebrews said, we've got a great crowd of people around us who could tell us all sorts of stories of what God has done. So, what's he say? He says, therefore, so we've got to press on with all these things that God wants to do. We've got to get rid of every weight that slows us down, because God's wanting us to move forward. So he says, get rid of every weight that's holding you down, and let's run this race that God's got for us. And how are we going to do this? We're going to do it by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. So we've got to put our eyes on Jesus. There's two things. One is on Jesus. And the other thing he says, if you're going to run a race, you don't run it after you've been to Asda and got all your shopping in the bags, do you? Because that would be absolutely stupid. So Paul, the writer here, says you've got to put aside every weight. Okay, put aside your shopping or whatever it is. And we can all think about different weights in our lives that can hold us back. We'll come on to that in a minute. So let's say together, put aside every weight. Ready? Put aside every weight. So what has God in store for us this morning? Let me get some space here. So a few years ago, Caroline and I decided we were going to go on a wonderful, wonderful holiday of a lifetime, because it was coming to the end of my working career, and we were going to go on a cruise to Alaska. Yay, that sounded great, doesn't it? And then we saw that there was this special trip. We could actually fly to Chicago and get the Amtrak train across the states to Seattle, and then we get the boat. And this sounded like a fantastic trip. So we got to Chicago, we got on the train, and the train, we had a sleeping car, and it was really super. But Amtrak don't own the railways, the actual tracks. The people who own the tracks are the freight companies. So every time a freight train came, guess which train it was that was put into a siding? It was not the special Amtrak passenger train. Sorry, it wasn't the freight train that was put into the sidings. It was the special passenger Amtrak train that was put into the sidings just to wait while the freight train came through. How ridiculous. I mean, here, the freight train has to wait because passengers are special, but not in the States with Amtrak. So we would be on this train in the sidings one time up to 3 hours waiting for a freight train to come through. Now, we were going to catch a cruise ship in Seattle. Waiting in sidings doesn't get you to your destination as quickly as you hope. And do you know what happened? The time was going on, and a few others. We were getting a little concerned about the time. But we kept going into the sidings. Do you know what I'm, or you all know what I mean by the sidings? It's just we were having to wait for the other train. We missed our boat. Oh, you say, we missed our boat. Now, of course, okay. But I thought this was a really interesting lesson. We were in the sidings. We missed our boat. And I wonder how many of you today, as I look around, are feeling a bit like your lives. Maybe you've been parked in the sidings while other life is going on, but you are just in the sidings, in that rest area, and other things are happening. Things are happening for other people, but you are in the sidings. And everybody else seems to be moving on and getting things and going somewhere in life, but, well, you are in the sidings. You're on the rest area, and life isn't moving forward for you. So today, we want to talk about that. We want to talk about the frustration of not going anywhere and your life just seeming to be on hold. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking there could be several reasons why we can be frustrated. Of course, there could be many, I'm sure, but I was just trying to boil it down to several. Maybe because you're frustrated at where you are in life. You're in the sidings, you're in this rest area, and whatever you seem to do doesn't seem to get you out of it. Maybe you feel you're trapped by circumstances. Maybe the way your job is, you're just trapped. No one takes notice of you. There's no promotion likely to come. You're just on your own. You're stuck. Maybe it's a relationship you're in. You feel trapped in that relationship. Maybe you have to look after somebody. You feel trapped. Maybe, and you're not going anywhere, and that's it. Or maybe an expectation for you. Maybe it was your mother who thought that you could be something special over here. I was talking the other day to someone whose mother wanted them to get A-plus grades at every turn. And this was like, whatever he did, it was never good enough for his mother. He felt trapped and frustrated because actually he was a more technical person. And now he's doing a more technical role, and it's great. But he was trapped by his mother's expectation. Maybe you're feeling trapped by someone's, hello, everybody, come and sit down. It's great to see you at church today. Maybe you're feeling trapped by people's expectation of you. Maybe it's a demand someone's putting on you to do something, and you feel, I shouldn't be doing this. This is holding me back from my life. So you're stuck. You're stuck in the sidings. You're stuck in the rest area, and everyone else is going on. Maybe for our Persian friends, you feel, well, I'm here now, but I'm wanting this visa. And I'm just stuck waiting. I'm sorry that the bureaucratic system is like that, but you're just waiting. Or maybe, my Persian friends, you are feeling frustrated because you had great training when you were in Iran, and now the only job you can get is something just mending cars or cleaning windows, and you feel, this God for training, you're better, you could do more. And you feel, does God care about me? Because I just feel stuck. Everyone else is doing something else that they want to do, but I feel stuck. So what would God say? Well, we're going to look at someone's story in the Bible, a lady, right in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, and her name was Leah. Does anyone know a person called Leah? I don't think I know any Leahs, but anyway, she was called Leah. And we're just going to mention a guy called Joseph as well. But Leah. Now, a guy called Jacob, there was this guy called Jacob. He was having to run away from home because his brother was after him. And so his mum suggested that he runs back to where she came from, a land quite a distance away. And there her family were. And maybe he could go and live there until his brother quietened down. And if he could live there, maybe he could get a job and everything could sort itself out over some time. So Jacob arrives in this country he's not been to before. And he's there and he meets his uncle Laban. And Uncle Laban has two daughters. The oldest is called Leah. The younger one is called Rachel. And Jacob falls in love with Rachel. Rachel, the younger one, she has all of the looks. All right? She has, the Bible says she is a comely figure. Okay? It's a wonderful old English phrase. She was beautiful. Leah, the older one, seems the Bible suggests she had something wrong with her eyes. I don't know if it was a squint or whatever, but she was not beautiful on the outside, as it were. Let's just say that. And Rachel has the looks. No one ever asked her how she was. No one asked her to the parties. No one gave her a wolf whistle walking down the street. Not that you should do that. But anyway, but that didn't happen for Leah at all. She was just the overlooked one. It was Rachel that caught Jacob's eyes. And you know, he did a deal with his uncle Laban. He did a deal. He would work for 7 years and then get to marry Rachel. Now, Laban didn't, the uncle didn't look after Rachel and find a husband for her at all. He just didn't bother. He was a conniving, cunning sort of a chap, but he had a sort of a bit of a plan. Now, I don't know how marrying Rachel. Now, some of you know the story, others of you may not, and I don't know how this happened, but when Jacob woke up after his wedding night, it was Leah who was in his tent with him. What had happened? While the lights were out, Laban had substituted Rachel out of the tent and shoved Leah in. And we're not going to go any further down that story. But Rachel was in his tent. Can you imagine, one, how angry, and we're not going to go into it any further, Jacob was. But can you imagine what Leah felt like? She was this overlooked girl. All the dreams of a wonderful wedding, the dreams of being that princess for the day and being the beautiful bride, that was in tatters. That was in ashes. And she was now stuck with Jacob, her father. What? We've talked about fathers. What a scandalous, outrageous thing Jacob Laban, the uncle, did to his own daughter. You know, that's abuse, we would say today. That's abuse. And poor Rachel. Sorry, poor Leah. She was stuck in this marriage. Well, Jacob later gets to marry Rachel as well. He has two wives. And as I say, we're not going to go into all the story, but sufficient to say, the Bible tells us that Jacob loved Rachel. He didn't love Leah. So can you imagine Leah? As life goes on, she feels in the sidings. She feels in the rest area. Everyone else is having a fine time. Rachel's the beautiful one. Rachel's the lovely wife of Jacob that gets taken out. She's the one, or she doesn't look too good. She's just, and that's her, that's what she gets. She was just frustrated. Well, let's have a look what happens. Leah becomes pregnant, and she has a son. And names her son. And in Bible times, names are quite specific to characteristics, and they can tell a story. And so we start to find a story unfolding here. She names her first son Reuben. And she says this, It's because the Lord has seen my misery, my husband will now love me. I think we can imagine how miserable she must be. But she names her son Reuben. She says, maybe my husband will see how miserable I am. Now maybe he will love me. Can you see that cry of her heart? She's not loved. She's just miserable. She's frustrated. So we're starting to see her spiritual journey through the names of her son. She gets pregnant again. And her second son is called Simeon. And she says, because the Lord heard that I'm not loved, he has given me this next son. And so she named him Simeon. So she's saying, well, I've not been loved, but maybe now my husband will see me with this second son. So the story starts to go a little bit further. And she has her next son. And her next son is called Levi. Now, she says, my husband will become attached to me because of these three sons. She doesn't say, now maybe my husband will love me because of my three sons. She's lowered her expectation. Maybe my husband will become a bit attached to me. Oh, what a cry in her heart. How frustrated she was because she just let the siding spirit talk to you. Are you in the sidings? A bit like Leah, maybe not those circumstances, but everything else is happening. And you think, oh, all I want is a bit of love. In fact, maybe I won't even go for love. I'll just go for some attachment. I just want to be wanted in this life. I just need to do something. But remember, she's married to Jacob. She's part of a family, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as she's in this family, she's hearing stories, just like we were reading earlier from the book of Hebrews. There's a group of people telling stories about Jesus. For them, it was people telling stories about how great-grandfather Abraham had been called by God to leave his country, and that God had said to him, I will form a covenant with you, and you can be special to me, and out of the children that are going to come from you and Sarah's relationship, I'm going to form a great nation. She was hearing that story. She was part of the family now. That's an amazing story. But now I'm married to Jacob, therefore I'm now going to be part of this story. How amazing. And although she wasn't loved by Jacob, she was part of the story. And this is the exciting thing. As she heard talk of how Abraham met with God and there was this covenant between God and Abraham, this God, Jehovah, can do miracles. She heard this, and then how God met Isaac, and then how God had worked in his life. She starts to think, this God is real. And I want you to know in your circumstances, wherever you are in the siding today, God is real. He's interested in you, even in the siding. So she gets pregnant again. I wish I could have longer time to tell the story. She's pregnant again. What's the name of this next baby? Because she's growing in her faith in the Lord. The next baby, she conceived again, and she gives birth to a son, and she says, does she say, I'm not loved? No. This time she says, this time I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. She's made a decision. I might be unloved. I might not even feel any attachment. But I'm going to focus on Jesus. I'm going to praise the Lord because I may not have other things in my life. My cup may not be being filled up with other stuff, but I can praise the Lord. And she makes a determined statement. This is how her life is going to be. It wasn't just a one-off little thought she had on a Monday morning, or maybe I should say on a Sunday morning when she was in church. I think I might try and praise Jesus. No, she named her son she made this statement, I'm going to praise the Lord. And I want to say to you this morning, we've got to make a change of our attitude like Leah had, because she was tucked away, but she said, right, other stuff, it ain't going to happen, but it's not going to stop me having a relationship with God. And for you, wherever you are, whatever expectations have forced you down, or whatever other expectations people have put on your life, or whatever you are in life, and you are just trapped, a bit like Leah, she couldn't get out of her situation. There was no women's refuge center then for her to go to. Life around, praise the Lord. And that was the key that turned her life around. And I want to encourage you today. There's nothing earth-shattering sometimes that can happen. It's simply a case of saying, I'm going to receive God's grace. I'm going to allow God into my situation. I'm going to call to God for help. There was Paul in the New Testament. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul had some difficulties. We don't know what they were, but he had some difficulties that kept on being difficult. Have you ever had difficulties that keep on being difficult? He had them. And apparently, he said to God, time and again, get out of the way. And God said to him, grace, my love, my resources are going to be sufficient for you in your difficulties. My grace is sufficient for you. And in that difficulty, my strength, not Paul, your strength, my strength, God said, will be sufficient in your weakness. So you might be trapped. You might think the world is going on and all I'm doing is this little lowly job, or I can't get, my life is just going nowhere. I can't see any fullness for my life in the future. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul was actually trying to get out of his siding himself. God, get this out of the way. God, can you do that? Now, it's good to pray. And Paul was praying. And Chris and the other leaders here will help you pray. And sometimes, and very often, God can move things. But there's also times God says, no, I want you to learn to really trust me more and more. And that's what we've got to do. And that's the first thing. And after we've started to trust God, sometimes, then God can really change the circumstances. For Paul, wasn't changed. For Leah, she still had to live with Jacob. But God that changes side, she knew that now, and she was praising him. And that's the big thing that changes just so much. Okay, it's a bit like Joseph. Joseph had dreams. And we're not going to really talk about very much about him at all. But he had dreams. And he got into trouble because he told his brothers his dreams. And they got really upset with him. And they sold him as a slave. And he went down to Egypt. And he ended up in prison. Where's my dreams? I'm in prison. But he had a wrong attitude. He'd been expecting that the dream meant his brothers would right there and then be bowing to him and honoring him. He had to change his attitude. And when he went to Pharaoh, that Joseph was an interpreter of dreams, Joseph said to Pharaoh, it's not about me. I can't do it. He says, God can do it. Joseph got to know that God was the one. And so often we try and get out of that siding on our own, but Joseph had to change his attitude. God, it's you I need. It's not me who's going to do it. I'm not going to get out of prison on my own. I'm not going to fulfill my dreams on my own. It's you who's going to do it. So there's Leah, she was locked in. There was Joseph who was dreaming. Now, another situation was the people of Israel. The nation, a bit later on in the story in Genesis, about 1,000 years later, they had been taken captive by the Babylonians, and they'd been taken from Jerusalem to this new land, and they were prisoners. Well, where were their dreams? They were very frustrated. They got their farms back there. They got their vineyards. Perhaps they had a little business making carts for people, or maybe they were making furniture. Those dreams were shattered. They were now slaves in Babylon. And there's a psalm we read, and it's Psalm, wherever it is, Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and we wept. They were so frustrated. Their mind was on the land they'd left behind. By the rivers of Babylon, we just sat down. Maybe sometimes you go for a walk. Maybe you go down to the River Thames and you just, oh, this is just so sad. This is terrible. Maybe you weep. Lord, I'm stuck in this siding. I'm just a slave to my life. There's nothing happening for me. I'm a slave. Well, do you know what happened? Jeremiah, the prophet, prophesied to them when they were in Babylon. There they were, sat down. But he said, plans and purposes for you. So he gave them hope. But he said this to them. He didn't say, well, pack up your bags. Don't worry, God's going to do an amazing miracle and you're going to be whisked back to Jerusalem suddenly. He didn't say that. He said, no, right where you are in this land of captivity, where you are feeling that you're in a siding, he said, right there and then, you can read about it in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 5, 6, 7. God says through Jeremiah, build houses right now. Plant gardens, have fruit trees, even have children. He said, and pray for the peace of where you are. Work for its welfare right where you are. So I want to encourage you. Maybe you would like to be somewhere else. Maybe you want to pray to be somewhere else, back in, for those people, back in Jerusalem. But God said, right where you are, you've got to act. Don't feel just trapped. Do something. Start by praising Jesus, like Leah had that baby and called him Judah. Start by putting your focus on Jesus. But then right where God will take you somewhere, do something. Do something in faith for where you are. Maybe God will take you somewhere else. But right where you are, know what God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, right there in those difficulties. I can help you. My grace is sufficient. And in your weakness, when you're feeling, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this situation. You know I'm trapped. God says, my strength is sufficient. So we have to figuratively hold our hands up and say, Lord, I receive. Didn't instantly get Paul out of the situation. God didn't get the people of Israel out of the situation. He didn't get Leah out of the situation. He wanted them to know who he was in the problem. All right? And so today, I want to say to you, God is for you right where you are. Right where you are. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Father God knows every single one of your very different situations. And he says, I've created you. And I know you've had Pastor Stuart here talking to you from Psalm 139. And God knows every detail of how you were made, every bone, every cell of your body. We read in that psalm, God knows you. He's got good works planned for you. So, he says, my grace is sufficient from you, for you. And Psalm 142 says this, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. God wants to not just bring you physically out of the situation, but like Leah, he can bring you your soul out of prison, just your heart out of prison with his grace and his goodness. So this morning, we're going to do two things in a minute. In a minute, we're going to stand up out of respect to everybody, but we're all going to stand up, please. And we're going to pray. And I want to pray a prayer of release, because maybe you are feeling trapped because of other people's expectations, provide for them, or give them more money, or work harder, or do something. And those expectations are locking you in. Not that the situation might change, but you're just feeling in your heart crushed by that. And I want to speak a release to your hearts to be who God has got you to be in your heart. Because it's starting in your heart first before it becomes a physical reality. Okay? So we're going to speak a word of release and freedom. Maybe others have got a vision for your life of how you should live in their ideal situation. And it just traps you. Maybe your mother or your father keeps saying to you, well, when are you going to get that decent job? And you think, well, I'm not like that. I want to do this. And it traps you. Maybe there's something else trapping you, pressure that's dominating you. And the second thing I'm going to pray is that we all receive more, like Paul, of God's grace. All right? So Paul said, Lord, help me. And then he prayed again, Lord, help me. But Father God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you right now. Now, next week, it might be different. Next year, it might be different. But right now, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. That means we've got to receive God's grace. Just like you ladies received the chocolate that our friends were giving out. You had to put your hand out for it. It's just the same. It's no good. They were trying to give you the piece of chocolate, and if you sat on your hands, you wouldn't have got it. Physically, I put my hands out. Lord, I'm going to receive. You've got to say yes. This is where faith is. Yes, God, I receive your grace. You know my life is a muddle, a mess. I feel trapped. I feel it's passing me by. But Lord, I'm going to receive your grace. Are you going to do that this morning? Yeah? Then let's stand up, shall we? Let's stand up. Okay. Now, first of all, we're going to pray. And I'm going to speak a word of release over your life. If you feel that other people's expectations or something in your life is trapping you, I'm going to speak a word of release. But you have got to connect with my words, with that funny thing called faith, which is simply your heart agreement, and say, that's it. This morning, Sunday the 10th of March, 10th of March, that's it. I'm agreeing with that guy called John when he prayed. Are we up for it?
Yeah.
Right, let's close our eyes. Come on now, we're going to worship Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You've died on that cross to save us. You died on that cross to forgive us. You died to wash me clean of my sin. Lord Jesus, you said when you were resurrected that I could come into new life too. And Lord, I've come for new life in you, and I thank you for it this morning. I thank you for new life for my brothers and sisters here in Jesus' name. And Lord, you know their lives. You know the siding that they're in. You know the rest area that they have been parked in and they can't get out of. But right now, with the authority of the name of Jesus, I speak release into people's spirits right now. I minister release in the name of Jesus. I come against that spirit of defeat in Jesus' name over people here. I break the spirit of defeatism of my brothers and sisters here in Jesus' name. And I speak that hope shall arise in the name of Jesus over different ones. Right now, come on now. Are you plugging in with faith? Are you taking this with faith? In the name of Jesus, I minister hope to arise in my brothers and sisters here. I break defeat off brothers and sisters. I say these are the people of God. This is the church of God here. These are precious brothers and sisters. I minister life to them. And now we're going to receive God's grace. So you're going to open your heart. Just open your hands right now. It's not chocolate you're receiving, it's something far, far better. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, you have promised that your grace, your goodness, your kindness, your love, all that word means, is sufficient for me. It's sufficient for each of my brothers and sisters this morning. I make a declaration, Lord, your grace is sufficient for my brothers and sisters right now in the name of Jesus. Just receive God's grace. I want you just to do a breath in and receive, like breathe in God's grace. Breathe out. Let the heartache go. And breathe in. Lord, I'm receiving your grace. Breathe it in. I'm receiving your grace in Jesus' name. Let the heartache go. I'm receiving your grace. I'm breathing it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I minister God's grace to each and every one this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, we say thank you, Lord, that your strength is made perfect and works in our weaknesses. And we say thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 And now be seated, and just remember, like Leah said, now I'm going to praise the Lord. All right? Now I'm going to praise the Lord. Things can be different because you've decided to put Jesus on the throne and you're going to praise him. Chris, bless you.
If you were engaging in that prayer, if your heart was open, if you were saying, yes, that's me, yes, I'm taking part in that, there might not have been any particularly high emotions then and there. You might be thinking, well, surely my heart should be racing, I should be feeling all tingly, something should be going on. Regardless of that, something has shifted. I've known John and Caroline for well over a decade now, and I know that when they pray, things shift. It was just like when I was 15 years old and I first gave my life to Jesus for the first time. It was a school night. I was reading a book late at night that explained the gospel to me. There was no thunder or lightning. I told my Christian friend the next day, I think I've become a Christian. It wasn't particularly dramatic, but the whole course of my life changed then and there through one simple prayer. And regardless of what you feel, regardless of what might be happening in your world, something has shifted, and you will see the fruit of that later today and next week and in the months and in the years to come, I believe, as we give God our praise, which we will be doing shortly. Things will start to shift. And even my mum, who's not a Christian yet, she has said to me, you know, Christopher, when you were 15 years old, that little lost soul that I knew, when you went to church, I don't get it, but it was the making of you. Your life can be different because his grace is sufficient for each and every one of you this morning. And we all know stories of rich people, powerful people, people who seem to have their lives all neat and tidy, all sorted on the outside, but on the inside are full of desperation, full of fear, full of hopelessness, who are free on the outside, but prisoners in their hearts, prisoners in their minds. Or right about now, your external world, like John was saying, might feel like a prison. It might feel like you're just in the sidelines, but inside you are free. Most famous preach, the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about where can you go to see God's glory, God's grace, God's power, God's love, God's transforming power on full display. Is it with people who have it all together? Is it with everything that's all right in the world? No, where can you go to see God's power, God's love, God's goodness? It's with these sorts of people. Blessed are the poor in spirit. People who are down and out, people who are anxious and fearful and depressed and hopeless, you're blessed. Blessed are those who mourn and you've lost something. When you're missing something, when you're grieving, you're blessed. God is close to you. When you're humble, when you're gentle, when you're meek, God is close to you. People who hunger and thirst for righteousness, if you're feeling desperate for right relationship, if you're feeling desperate to feel connected, to feel loved, you're blessed. God is close to you. Merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, those who are persecuted. If that's you this morning, in any way, shape, or form, feeling like Leah or Paul or the people of Israel, in any way, shape, or form, God is drawing close to you in this moment. And right now, before we go out with one final song of praise, before we draw this service to a close, we are going to do perhaps the greatest setting of prisoners free, if you've never actually given your life to Jesus, if you want to say, well, this sounds really nice, but how do I start this journey? How do I meet this God who loves me? How do I start my life being transformed with Jesus? In a moment, we're going to pray one final prayer. We'll pray it all together. I'll pray a line in your faith, but we're doing this all together as a family. If there's anyone in here who wants to give their life to Jesus for the very first time, or maybe you said yes to Jesus a long time ago, but you've walked away, you've walked back into the prison of your old and difficult life, the Father's arms are wide open today. Today's the perfect day to come home. So, how about right now? We pray a prayer all together, out loud. I'll pray a line, you can pray it back. Nice and brave, nice and bold, all together we say this. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for his death on the cross that paid for my sin, and his resurrection to give me new life. I'm sorry for doing things my way, but today I receive your love and forgiveness. Come into my life, set me free, and I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen. Just in this final moment, with every head bowed, every eye closed, just as a private moment, if you prayed that prayer either for the very first time or as a way of recommitting your life to Jesus, I want you to do something super brave. I won't embarrass you or bring you to the front or anything like that. But if that was you, giving your heart, giving your life to Jesus, how about you just stick up your hand? I'll acknowledge it, and then you can put it back down again. It's only me looking around. You're saying yes to Jesus. Is there anyone in here? Brilliant. I see that hand. Fantastic. Anyone in here? Anyone else in here? Got one person so far. Today's the perfect day to come home and be free. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. The Bible says that there's more joy in heaven when one person comes home to God than 99 people who get it right all of the time. So there's a big celebration in heaven that we're going to be joining in with just a moment's time. If that was you, if you just raised your hand to give your life to Jesus, or maybe you didn't, but you felt like you wanted to, on the screen behind me is a QR code. We would love it if you could take your phone out, give that a scan. That will take you to our website with a couple of short videos from our team explaining the brilliant decision that you have made today. We'd love to give you a Bible and something to help you read the Bible. We'd love to pray with you. Come and chat to me or one of the team at the end. But the best advice that we always give is keep on coming back. This is a whole group of people that doesn't just do this out of religious duty. We are here all together praising God, giving our lives to him, and we want to walk with you as you walk out the best decision that you have ever made. Trust me, you will never, ever regret it. Thank you so much. And if as part of your time is another QR code, you can still praise song. The hosts will hand out buckets if you want to give by cash. But we always say, if this is your first time at church, or if you're just a visitor, if you wouldn't consider this church your home church, please feel under no obligation to give. Everything is on the house. We're just so appreciative that you could be here with us. Just feel free to let the buckets pass you by. We hope you've had a fantastic Sunday morning with us. But it's not quite over yet. We're going to be drawing the official part of our service to a close in just a moment. I'll hand back to our crew and they will be leading us in a song of praise and worship. But afterwards, head to the back of the room. The team has prepared some fantastic tea and coffee and hospitality. Stick around, get to know a few people. Come and chat to John and Caroline and come and get to know a few more people. We would love to hear more about your story and all the brilliant things that God is doing. But like John said, now is the time. Regardless of circumstances, regardless of feelings, regardless of situation, now is the time to praise the Lord. So are you ready?
Yeah.
Come on. I hope so. How about you jump to your feet? I'm going to hand over to the team. Okay. And we will head out with that new song that we started with. Okay? So let's go.
Come on, church. As John said, we're going to go out praising like Leah did at the end of that story. We're just going to welcome in our lives everything that God wants to teach us. We're going out with a thankful heart of who God is and what he's going to do in this coming week. your eyes onto the Lord and thank Him for what He wants to teach you in this situation. Who can stop the Lord?